So we will run with that story that Sir Geoffrey Donaldson has given us this morning. No Arlene Foster, no government in Northern Ireland. The DUP being very, very direct this morning. It is not negotiable. According to Sir Geoffrey Donaldson this morning, there will either be direct rule or an election. 030-30-80-55-55. On the issues we were talking about before that statement from Sir Geoffrey, the legacy issues. Bill in Belfast. Morning, Bill.
Good morning, Stephen. Legacies. Always seem to be 9 years inquiries. Since we've had a peace process, 20 years, it seems to be, let's throw up the inquiries into wrongdoings by the security forces. It's always the nationalists seem to be getting this upbeat thing and beating the big drum for what they want. I thought we were going to move on. 20 years ago, I think everybody had the same understanding or impression that we were going to move on and everybody was going to play, go down the same road and everybody would be happier. It doesn't seem to be. 20 years and we're no further on. We should maybe, if Bloody Sunday set a bookmark really for us at the end of the day, if they actually asked for this inquiry for so long, and when it came about, they had the inquiry and it's done with. Spent £300 million on it, which could have been used better for hospitals or schools or whatever. But I mean, at the end of the day, let's get the inquiries out of the road and let's get it done with. And let's all travel together down the same road and get things sorted instead of spending millions again. I'm sure that's going to cost. We'll have another inquiry. It's not in the tens or hundreds of thousands of pounds. Everything's millions. You know, and it's not about the financial side of it, suppose, at the end of the day. Maybe I'm coming across that way. It's not about that.
Bill, thank you. Bill, thank you. Thomas in Belfast. Morning, Thomas.
How you doing, Stephen? Hi, Stephen. Just before I make my point, I think it should be made clear that a UVF member served a life imprisonment for McGurk's Bar, so there was people convicted of that. But just on the other thing with Jerry Kelly, there's no question that people's names are going to be in danger, as Geoffrey Donaldson pointed out. Senior Sinn Féin rep Dennis Donaldson was murdered after it, but it's just this nonsense that Jerry Kelly comes off with about not knowing who was involved in what. Jerry Kelly, and I'll talk about my own North Belfast area, Jerry Kelly and Cara McCullaghan were both IRA gunmen and an IRA gunwoman in this area, both involved in IRA death squads in this area, and they know who they operated with. They know who the other IRA prisoners are in them areas, and Jerry Kelly and Karen McCullaghan should go round our areas, collate a dossier of who was involved in what and what operations they were involved in, and ask their volunteers to own up, because that's what they're asking the British government to do. And until they have that, they shouldn't be given anything. You have to walk into a meeting, and if both sets of people, both sets of combatants in this country are going to sit down and disclose the truth, both sets of combatants have to do it. It's either one or the other.
Fred and Moore. Morning, Fred.
Hello. Regarding Arlene Foster not settling down and the demands that she does, then we're told it'll either be direct route or another election. So you have another election, you're back to just where you are today.
That is further than I have heard the DUP going in recent times. Actually, let's move to that story, if you don't mind. We'll come back to the legacy issue in a second or two. The political commentator Alex Kane joining us this morning. Morning to you, Alex.
Good morning, Stephen.
So, Geoffrey Donaldson, you tell me what you read into this. Sir Geoffrey Donaldson saying on this programme this morning, if Sinn Féin don't back down on their position that Arlene Foster steps aside while the RHI inquiry is continuing, there will be no devolved government in Northern Ireland. He couldn't have been clearer. And you know, Alex, that other people within the DUP have been leaving wriggle room. Sir Geoffrey Donaldson hardening that position this morning. There is no negotiation over it, he said.
Yep, and I think Geoffrey, as you say, very senior member of the party, he doesn't usually go on solo runs. Usually when Geoffrey says something, it's kosher. It is the position. And you're right, I remember, I think it was 2 weeks ago, you were talking to Gavin Robinson on your Five Live on the Saturday night, and he left wriggle room over that weekend. There was wriggle room left. I've talked to some DUP people privately about this who have sort of said to me, oh, well, you know, Alex, if it's a choice between Arlene having to step aside and the whole process collapsing into direct rule, we would have to budge in that. That seems to be gone. Geoffrey seems to be now making it quite clear that if Sinn Féin don't, and well, you heard it, if they don't back down, I think I'm willing, knowing him, and I've known him for years, and knowing his authority and standing within the party, I think when someone like Donaldson says something like that, it's a very clear message that this is now the DUP's formal position.
So what is the point then of them discussing all of these other issues? Because there's a fundamental fault line now. Could Sinn Féin back down on their entrenched position, which is they will not go into government while Arlene Foster is their appointee for First Minister?
Well, I said right at the beginning of these talks, I think it may have been with you, Stephen, a couple of weeks ago, that I thought this was always going to be the fault line, because it didn't make sense for Sinn Féin to say, oh, no problem at all, Arlene can lead the talks team, Arlene can sit all the way 2-3 weeks, wherever it's going to be, we'll negotiate. But when we sign off the deal, I'm sorry, we're not going to let her be First Minister. That was always going to be an untenable position. Someone was always going to have to move. And the other thing I'll say, Stephen, having watched this for 25, 30 years, particularly from the mid-1990s onward, from the forum and the talks, all the other things below and above the radar, at this point, I don't think anyone could say for absolute certainty that there isn't wriggle room on Sinn Féin's part. At this stage, it does seem unlikely. Some people are probably thinking utterly impossible. But having watched the body language over the years and all of these, sometimes a party says something, and they know, Stephen, they've done the tic-tacking between them already. They know there's something at play. So at this stage, yes, Donaldson, unless somebody comes along with, it would have to be Nigel Dodds or Arlene Foster herself, and say, no, he's wrong. It seems to me that's now the DUP's position. Clarify, we now have to wait to see what should
happen. Let's just listen again to how clear he was. This is what he said a matter of moments ago. Is the DUP's position that Arlene Foster will not step aside?
Well, that is our stated position.
So what's the point of having these talks?
Well, because we, in the hope, Stephen, that if we can get a broad measure of agreement on all of the other issues, that Sinn Féin will relent on this demand, which we believe is an unreasonable
demand. And if they don't relent?
We're not going to get a government, and we will then have, presumably, either another election or direct rule.
So if Sinn Féin don't back down on their demand that Arlene steps aside while the RHI inquiry is continuing, you're saying there will be direct rule?
Or another election.
He couldn't be clearer, Alex, again.
Couldn't be clearer, but he also said something interesting there as well, Stephen. I just picked up the nuance having listened to it for the second time there. He does seem to be suggesting, and it's quite implicit, that let's say, for example, in, I don't know how many days are left now, 8 or 9, that the DUP say to Sinn Féin, look, we are willing to concede in that, we're willing to give you tracks in that, we're willing to do this, but, and with that, all of that, that'll be a bit of uncomfort for it. Some of our party grassroots won't be entirely happy with that. We are willing to do that, but only if you are willing to come up with some sort of compromise on Ireland. If you are not willing to do that, then yeah, it's going to be direct rule, it's going to be another election. We will probably come back with more figures. I would take a bet now that if there's another election, Stephen, the DUP will actually consolidate rather than lose any further seats. So they might actually gain 2 or 3, which will make it more difficult for Sinn Féin. I think that if they can say, here's something we're willing to do with this, we need it, a deal right now, I just think it's possible, or they seem to think it's possible at this moment, that there's enough wriggle room for them to say,
why
do this, we do that.
Why do you think, because you're right about Sir Geoffrey, he's you know, we both know how senior he is within the DUP. So that is the DUP. There's no doubt about it. If Sir Geoffrey is saying that, it's an authority figure within the party saying it. Why do you think they've hardened their position?
Because, well, it's interesting. It is worth saying, Stephen, and it adds a little dimension to this. He would not have known that question was going to come up. He may have thought it was going to be something else, that question.
Every DUP person that's been interviewed has been asked the same question.
Yes, I know, but it's just the fact that he's given such a clear position. So that would suggest to me that there's no DUP MLA will be sitting there going, oh my God, I didn't know that was coming. They know it's being prepared, and it's what you do as the negotiation day, as the final day gets closer, Stephen. The parties work at this stage. In the first few days, it's no, no, no. Next few days, it's well, maybe, maybe. Then as you approach that deadline, they start to think, well, it's either direct rule or an election. It's, is there something we can now do? So basically, it seems to me that what the DUP is saying to Sinn Féin, look, there are things maybe we are willing to consider, maybe we're willing to do, maybe we're willing to take our people further than they thought they would have to go. But in exchange for that, you have to make sure that Arlene is not going to be your sacrifice. That, I don't know, Stephen, maybe they've already had the tic-tac, the nods and winks. That's my experience of how these talks processes go. They say a lot privately before it's sort of gently nudged into the public arena. Something has happened, whether it's got legs, Stephen. Sinn Féin could come on in 2 minutes and say to you, no, sorry, forget this. Even if they get offered us a complete £100 million Irish Language Act, no, we're still not allowing Arlene Foster to be First Minister. That kills it stone dead, Stephen. But until Sinn Féin come out and say, this is dead, then at this stage, this is a very considerable move by the DUP. And we now wait for the Sinn Féin response. This could be a huge story, Stephen, or in 5 minutes' time, the phone call to you, it could be a non-story. We don't know at this
point. Okay. Alex Cain, thank you very much indeed. Let's just all listen to what Sir Geoffrey Donaldson has said about this once again. Is the DUP's position that Arlene Foster will not step aside?
Well, that is our stated position.
So what's the point of having these talks?
Because we, in the hope, Stephen, that if we can get a broad measure of agreement on all of the other issues, that Sinn Féin will relent on this demand, which we believe is an unreasonable
demand. And if they don't relent,
we're not going to get a government. And we will then have, presumably, either another election or direct rule.
So if Sinn Féin don't back down on their demand that Arlene steps aside while the RHI inquiry is continuing, you're saying there will be direct rule?
Or another election.
0-30-30-80-55-55. Malachy O'Doherty joining us now in this breaking news story. Well, Malachy, DUP hardened their position this morning, and that's a direct message to Sinn Féin. If they don't back down, there will be no devolved government in Northern Ireland.
I think that's right, and I think the implications of that are difficult for them as well, because if you think about it, Stephen, Geoffrey is saying that, you know, the negotiations will go ahead, and then the last item presumably they'll come to will be what do we do with the nominations, or at least they'll just go through that process, but they must have worked something out in advance. In the nature of negotiation, they're going to have to concede something. Either Sinn Féin is going to be completely humiliated in this, which I doubt because they don't do humiliation, or essentially there'll be items on the final list which will be concessions to Sinn Féin, which need not necessarily have been there had Arlene stepped aside. There will be a price to be paid for retaining Arlene.
But that's a red line now.
Well, that's a red line, yeah, that's a red line.
So Sinn Féin have a red line that they will not go into government with Arlene there while the RHI inquiry is continuing, and the DUP's red line is we're not going into government if Arlene's not there.
But it's a broader game of chess. I mean, as Alex was saying just a moment ago, a gamble, another election is a huge gamble for Sinn Féin. It's a huge gamble for both of them. But it is possible that Sinn Féin, you know, will rally its troops or its support base and everything and get even more votes and see within sight the possibility of overtaking the DUP. But it's equally likely, you know, that the DUP will dig in. The trouble is, what bothers me is that the next election will be the most divisive election ever here, because it will be about how big each side can make its camp. Now, both of them are looking at the prospect of that. Sinn Féin is seeing the prospect of increasing its vote and becoming the majority party in Northern Ireland. And DUP is seeing the prospect of reversing a humiliation in the recent election. So actually, you know, going to an election might not be such a non-attractive prospect for either of those parties.
Malachy, thank you. The TV leader, stay there, Malachy. The TV leader, Jim Allister, with us this morning. Morning to you, Jim.
Good morning.
Well, there you have it. You sometimes, Jim, accuse the DUP of not being tough enough on Sinn Féin. That was a tough, direct red line that they've given this morning to Sinn Féin. They will have Arlene Foster as First Minister, or there will not be a government in Northern Ireland. Couldn't be more direct, Jim.
I think that was always meant to be their position, but no, I don't see how Arlene Foster with any credibility, having refused to stand down at Christmas time for just 3 weeks or 4 weeks, could suddenly, with credibility, stand down for many months. Surely it's a matter of personal credibility at that point, so I don't think that was ever attainable. But the concern, I suppose, is if Sinn Féin can be bought off on this issue, at what price? And what price is the DUP prepared to pay? I would fear far more than they ought in order to sustain Aaron Foster as First Minister. Isn't it abundantly clear that, you know, we're in the sticky plaster politics again? Whatever it takes, stick it together for a few more months. They're all busting a gut to try and do that, with no regard to the fact that none of it...
Well, they're busting a gut to try to get an agreement to bring government back into Northern Ireland so that locally elected people can make local decisions.
Yes, on the same farcical conning basis that they did just over a year ago with a fresh start, pretending that the sticking plaster would hold it all together and everything was hunky-dory, and yet we know within months it fell apart. And the reason it falls apart is still there. The reason it falls apart is the system's unsustainable because it holds at the heart of government a party that doesn't want to make Northern Ireland work. And therefore, any system that does that is never going to work. It's pretty elementary, and that's the fundamental flaw of Belfast Agreement devolution.
Geoffrey Donaldson's predicting that if Sinn Féin don't back down, there'll either be direct rule or another election. I'm just looking at the latest tweet I have into me here. It's from someone called Kira, who says, "Surely there is no public appetite for yet another election. We are frustrated and tired," she says.
I'm not sure an election's going to solve anything, working on the presumption that those two parties will return as the same biggest party. Is Sinn Féin's demand going to be any different over Irene as First Minister after the, if there is another election, than before it? I wouldn't have thought so. So where does it take us, other than putting us through another $5 million cost of yet another election, rather than face the reality that this storm can't be fixed?
Maliki?
What the breaking point is where you get to the election. I think that's it. I mean, I think Jim is right. You know, Kira is right. There is a strong feeling out there that this is quite tiresome. But that was the feeling at the beginning of the last election. I was not among those who were saying, "Oh, there's going to be a huge turnout here." I was among those who were saying, "Oh God, you know, what I'm hearing is just that everybody's bored stiff and wants no more of this." But we were wrong there, and we'll be wrong again. When those two parties are in naked confrontation with each other, and the question is, is unionism bigger than nationalism, or is nationalism bigger than unionism, then that touches the rawest of nerves in this community, and that will get the turnout. That is what I fear, because I don't think that's good for this place. I think, you know, that's what tears this place apart.
We're only a few months as well, Maliki, away from, you know, the marching season, the summer season, and all that goes with it.
Yeah, and the loyalist feud in Carrickfergus as well, you know, which we don't know how far it will go. If you're going to have another election, then get it over before the marching season's well under. Well, the marching season actually starts on Easter Monday, doesn't it? So that's only, what, 4 weeks away, 3 weeks away?
Maliki, thank you. Jim Allister, thank you. Neil and Maura. Morning, Neil.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Stephen, I don't know if I was speaking to your researcher. I don't know. Am I missing something here? Am I being completely naive? Because it doesn't look like these negotiations are going to give a government. So we're going to be going to a period of direct rule. Were Sinn Féin not better off before Martin McGuinness resigned, but at least they were in power in a devolved government along with the DUP?
Well, Sinn Féin's position is that the situation was intolerable to them.
I don't think it was that intolerable, was it? They sought for power for years, and then they got power. The DUP couldn't do stuff without Sinn Féin's agreement. Surely that is a good level of power. So are they not worse off now if it's going to be direct rule?
Neil, thank you very much indeed.